Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
A good Tuesday evening to you. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, as you just heard. And I've got you for the next 2 hours. We are taking you till 8 o'clock tonight, a full two-hour program, one of just two this week. We'll do it also on Friday, short tomorrow for Billikens, and then we've got Countdown to Opening Day coming up on Thursday evening. As always, if you want to chime in, and I'm going to give you an opportunity that I actually want to hear from you. Not I actually want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. That came off a little bad. I always like hearing from you. I do especially want to hear from you. That would be the better way to say that. I especially want to hear from you in hour number one today, coming up in our next segment and moving forward, because this is I was out on Cardinals Caravan, so I was not hosting yesterday, so this is kind of my Monday, and this is my first opportunity to talk with you about the different storylines, the different themes, the different narratives, whatever word you want to use, that came out of winter warm-up / Cardinals Caravan weekend. And there's a bunch of things I'm going to touch on, but I would be curious to hear from you what stood out to you and how you feel about things. Also today, we'll get into the news of the moment, and that's that we've got three new Baseball Hall of Famers. Ichiro Suzuki, one vote short. There is a baseball voter out there that did not vote for Ichiro, a single one. And Ichiro comes up one vote short of being a unanimous Hall of Famer. I hate that, by the way. Who isn't voting for Ichiro? Who and why? Is it because you got some stupid belief that you can't, like, nobody should be a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer or something? Like, that's ridiculous. But Ichiro's in. Good for him. CC Sabathia's in. And Billy Wagner's in. So those are three very, very deserving candidates. And next up on the list, not getting in, but based off where the number is at and just based off how voting works, likely to be inducted next year, a former Cardinal in Carlos Beltran. He got just over 70% of the vote, came up less than 20 votes short of being in the Hall of Fame. And generally, when you get to about that number, you're getting in the next year. So in all likelihood, when I am speaking with you on January to whatever it ends up being around this time, January 20-something of 2026, we will likely be discussing a former Cardinal outfielder in Carlos Beltran being elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But for now, three very, very deserving candidates. And Ichiro Suzuki, who was incredible in everything that he did. CC Sabathia, at his best. Sabathia's best was probably about as good as anybody's best in the last 30 years. He was dominant. And even when he wasn't at his best, he was good. But you think about the guys who are just absolutely unhittable, and that was Sabathia. And then Billy Wagner, one of the best closers of all time. So congratulations to those three guys getting in. And if I was a voter, if I was a Hall of Fame voter, because you can get you can vote for up to 10, you can I would be voting for 10 every year. I've never really gotten to vote on anything really notable. The most important vote that I've ever had in my life was I was one of the voters for the Brewers Walk of Fame, which is kind of like the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And you were allowed to vote for as many people as you wanted. And I never wanted to be the person that stopped somebody from being elected. So I would look at other people's ballots. And if there was somebody, especially somebody who I respected, who voted for somebody, man, I'd really dive in on the research at that point, and I was likely to add them to my ballot, because if somebody came up one vote short of getting on that thing and I didn't vote for them, I can't tell you how terrible I would have felt. I would have felt beyond terrible. So baseball writers are the ones who vote for this. If I was a baseball writer and in the Baseball Writers Association and had my tenure and had a Hall of Fame vote, I'd probably fill that ballot up with 10 every single time. I am a big ballot kind of guy, but I'm glad the three are getting in. You know, sometimes we don't get even that many getting in. I am glad that we're getting three in. From a Cardinal standpoint, here's what I want to get into today, and this is where we'll open up the phone lines in our next segment. And I hope I hear from people today. We'll see. I hope I hear from people today. I'll leave it at that. At 314-436-7900, whether you're calling in, texting in, tweeting at me, at Matt Pauly on air, leaving voice messages on the Odyssey app, if that's how you want to get in contact with us. I'm curious what your takeaways are from the different things that were said this weekend at winter warm-up. I'll tell you the thing that really jumps out at me. The thing that, of everything that was said, and there was a lot of important things that were said, of everything that was said this weekend, the most impactful thing I thought was that John Mozeliak essentially said that if they do not trade Nolan Arenado, they are not going to have to find salary relief elsewhere. And that's a change. That's a change. And we have talked on this show a lot. This show, Gas House Gang, all over the place. One of the things that we have discussed a ton, ad nauseum, just maybe too much, is that previously the thought was you don't trade Nolan Arenado, you still need to find that salary relief somewhere, so all of a sudden it becomes more likely that an Eric Fetty gets traded. It becomes more likely that a Ryan Helsley gets traded. It becomes more likely that those type of things end up happening. And we weren't wrong when we said that. Because I was sitting in a room in Dallas, Texas with John Mozeliak when he made the announcement that the team intended to trade Nolan Arenado. And to paraphrase him, and I could go find the audio if I really needed to. If you don't believe me, I can go find the audio of Mo saying it. But to paraphrase what Mo said that night in Dallas, that essentially there are multiple ways to get down to the payroll number that we need to get down to, but the easiest way to do it would be to trade Nolan Arenado. That was essentially what he said. Again, that's a paraphrase, and I can go find the exact audio if you really, really need it. But I don't think you do. I think you'll believe me. It's pretty well publicized that he said that. So things have changed. Things have obviously and clearly changed. And that's all right. Like, this is not Mo said this, and now he's saying this. Like, it's okay that things change. They intended to lower payroll by a certain number. That might not happen. And they found a little bit more flexibility. And market forces can change things as well. Even though when the winter meetings were going on, we had known about the TV deal and we known that gambling had been legalized in Missouri, you don't totally know the impact of it quite yet. And I still don't think you do. As I talked to you at 6:15 p.m. on January 21st, 2025, I would argue that the Cardinals probably still don't know the true impact that sports gambling being legalized in Missouri will have. The TV thing, they should be, and I believe they are, pleasantly surprised by the TV deal that they ended up getting. I think they were prepared to lose more than 23%. They were prepared to lose more than $17 million per year on their TV deal. You go look around baseball and look at the teams that either themselves re-upped with Bally / FanDuel, or you look at the teams that are taking it in-house under the MLB Network umbrella. Most of those teams are losing a whole lot more than the Cardinals are losing in terms of percentage. So that was not as bad as it could have been. So things can change around. And I think it is a good sign that there's not going to be this stated mandate that more salary has to be dumped if you do not trade Nolan Arenado. I don't think that changes their desire to trade Arenado. It doesn't change my desire for the team to trade Arenado. And not because I don't like Arenado, not because I don't think that he might even have a bounce-back season this year, not because of the millions of other reasons that people take issue with Arenado. It has nothing to do with Nolan Arenado. It has everything to do with Nolan Gorman. It has everything to do with Thomas Jacy. That's why I want Arenado moved. We are going into a transitional year for the St. Louis Cardinals where it is of the utmost importance that they figure out what they have in some of these young guys. You want to sit there and talk all day about giving young guys runway, then give them the stinking runway. Give it to them. Get Nolan Gorman an everyday job at third base. Give Thomas Sejacy an opportunity to play second and play third and to play short and to get a lot of at-bats and to get, you know, 4 or 5 games a week. Get these guys that opportunity. Because then when kind of that next era of Cardinals baseball with Heim Bloom in charge in 2026 starts, you know what you have and what you don't have. And that has nothing to do with being competitive this year. I think the team absolutely can still be competitive this year, even doing these things that I am talking about right now. So Nolan Arenado is he's been one of my favorite ball players to watch play for a really, really long time. He is 2 years ago, it would have been down between him and Aaron Judge on who I would start a team with and build around. Like that's, I think the world of him, but I'm also, I've got enough common sense in my head to know where this organization needs to go. And it makes the most sense to move on from Arenado to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But if they can't, and I don't just give him away for nothing, I don't take on 90% of his salary just to move him. Like there's got to be some parameters there. And if you're not going to be forced to move payroll elsewhere because he's around and you end up not finding a deal, you can sit on it. And you can wait to see if an injury happens around baseball. You can wait to see if something else goes down where you can maybe trade him at a later time. What struck you from the winter meetings? 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll talk to you through this hour is all about reviewing what came out of winter warm-up weekend. We'll chat with you coming up in just a moment here on KMOX.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Back at it. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. We will welcome in your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, in addition to your voice messages as well. If you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you can text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. We're talking through what you take away from winter warm-up weekend. A lot was said. I thought the single most important thing was that if Nolan Arenado does not get traded, the Cardinals do not feel like that they have to move on from other players to hit a certain salary, payroll number. I thought some of what Wilson Contreras had to say was interesting, what Sonny Gray had to say, both those guys talking about wanting to be in St. Louis and believing in this team. There was an overwhelming narrative from players, management, everybody, that this team might overperform what the expectations are for this year. So obviously a lot of more positive theme type stuff coming out, but I thought there were a number of interesting things. So again, we'll take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, 314-436-7900. Let's start with Barbara, who has given us a call. Hey, Barbara, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to tell you, I want them to keep Arenado. I went down to the Cardinals to watch him and to get his pin at the stadium, and they were sold out of his pin and his jerseys and everything. And he's a superstar. And basically, he was so great to look at on the field because he jumps around like a little rabbit, and he's running around and catching the balls, and he's a superstar on third base. And he's a great player. And he's a good hitter, too, because he hit a lot, and they won the game.
Barbara, how does it impact you if having him on the team stops the team from getting an opportunity to look out players who are going to be a big part of the team in the future?
Well, I think the Cardinals, they're doing very well. And they, and like you said on the radio, they got a contract with the television stations, and now have the television station. And basically, they can get money from players and for players, and also they have, the DeWitts are very rich people, and they're very good people. So I'm hoping they can keep Arenado.
All right, Barbara, appreciate the phone call. If you want to chime in, you can do so. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Text message from the 314 saying, I think the most impactful note from winter warmup is the DeWitt's claiming that the Cardinals operate at a loss some years. Yeah, the optics of stating that are not great. When you've got an organization that is worth as much as the Cardinals are worth, and the value of the team is always increasing, I get where fans push back. I'm not trying. So if I'm in that position, those words probably are not coming out of my mouth, because from an optic standpoint, I think fans get frustrated when they hear those sort of things, because again, yeah, the main thing here is the overall value of the franchise is continuing to go up. So let me just, so my reaction to that is, if you take the value of the team going up and up and up and up and up, and you put that off to the side, and it is strictly like a profit and loss statement, are there years where their expenses are higher than their revenues? I can buy that. I can buy that. I don't think that's a lie. Now, look, there's also, you know, what revenues are you talking about? Are you only talking about revenues connected to the ball club? Are you talking about revenues connected to Ballpark Village? Like, there's just so many ways. So when I hear from the DeWitts that there are some years that they operated a loss, I don't think he's lying. I don't think the optics are great, because the organization overall is worth more and more, and there are other revenue sources and things like that. So I understand why a fan would hear that and be a little bit frustrated. I would also say this. That is something that is being said in many baseball markets. I don't know if you saw this. So Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, he went on their radio home in Chicago on 670 The Score, and he basically said the exact same thing. Now, it's one thing to say that when you're the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals and you are in the market size that you're in. It is a completely other thing to say that when you are in Chicago, when you are one of the single most profitable teams in all of baseball, where you are one of the leaders from a negative standpoint, where you're one of the leaders in baseball in spending the least amount of team total revenue on your roster. So essentially Ricketts went out and said, yeah, we just try to not lose money each year. Like, that is, if I was a Cubs fan, oh my gosh, I would be angry. I would be so incredibly angry. Like a moment ago when I'm talking about the DeWitts, and I say, you know, depending on what equation you use, what you consider as baseball revenue and what you don't consider as baseball revenue, like, I don't think he's lying. He's just, you know, you can make the statement that he made, and even if the optics on saying it aren't fantastic, he's not lying, right? I don't think DeWitt is lying when he says that. When Ricketts says it, he is lying. That is not truthful. That is a 100% blatant lie. The lack of respect for Cubs fans that Ricketts has by saying that is astounding. It's astounding that he could say that. When you are the Chicago Cubs, when you sell out every single game, when you have everything about the Cubs, they print money at Clark and Addison. It is crazy, crazy that he could say that. So my point is, all owners say some version of that, right? Like, within reason. Maybe not the Dodgers owner, maybe not the Mets owner, maybe not the Yankees owner. I get it. But if the Cubs owner can say it, anybody can go out and say that. So if I'm making the decisions on what messages I want the Cardinals to send, my first message is not that some years they make money and some years they lose money, because fans just don't want to hear that, especially when the organization is worth $2 billion or whatever it's worth. But I also think the other side of it that was important, and this was the part that was lost, and of everything that DeWitt said that went along with it, I think is important. So they're essentially saying that they, you know, some years they make a little money, some years they lose a little bit of money in terms of, you know, the way the statement looks. They want to continue to operate the team in that fashion, with the idea that this is still a long-term play for them. And there's been a lot of speculation out there. It's been going on for a while. Probably started all those years ago when Mike Shannon went on the broadcast and said, hey, he heard that the DeWitts were going to sell the baseball team. I can't tell, like, I hate even mentioning this because I get frustrated by it. I can't tell you how often we get text messages from people, oh, the DeWitts are going to sell, or they're going to move the team out of St. Like, they're not moving the team out of St. Louis. It's that the Cardinals are here. The Cardinals still make a lot of money. Ballpark Village makes a lot of money. Like, this is a machine. People bring up Nashville all the time. You know what? If you take the St. Louis Cardinals organization and just lift it up and drop it in Nashville, it becomes a lot less profitable at a snap of a finger. Not because Nashville isn't a great market. Not because Nashville is a better market than St. Louis in many, many ways, unfortunately, with the way that Nashville has transformed itself into an amazing city, and St. Louis can't get out of its freaking way when it comes to things. Not because of any of that, but because of who Cardinals fans are and what the Cardinals represent. So if you have, like, with all due respect to everybody listening to me right now, if you have this belief that the Cardinals are not going to be in St. Louis at some point in the next few years, however long that might be, like, you're wrong. They're staying here. There's no reason. Like, this is why I don't even like talking about it, because it's such an absurd idea that they could ever move on. Is it an absurd idea that the DeWitts could sell the Cardinals at some point? No, that's not an absurd idea. Anything is for sale at any given moment if the price is right, right? But from the way the DeWitts are operating the team, and from what they're saying, where they're continuing to operate it as a business that they intend to own for a very long time, that's an important part. The DeWitts don't plan to go anywhere. If a super billionaire walks into St. Louis and walks into Bill DeWitt Jr.'s office and says, I want to own a baseball team and this is how much I'm willing to pay, and it's an incredible number, would it be impossible for the team to get sold at some point again? No, but that's not what they're thinking right now. They intend to keep this team for quite some time. So yes, the impactful note about what the Cardinals say in terms of sometimes operating at a loss, but it's the other side of that as well. The reason that is brought up is because the DeWitts are making it very clear that they intend to keep this team in the family for a very long time moving forward, and it continues to be a long-term play for them. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. What are your takeaways from winter warm-up weekend? We had a lot of interviews over the few days. It's always one of my favorite weekends of the year. We'll talk through anything Cardinals-related that you would like to discuss. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We're doing kind of our winter warm-up post-mortem, taking away everything that was said over the 3 days of winter warm-up. I realize that, I guess technically it ended yesterday, so it's the day after the end of warm-up. Yesterday, Joe Pott was in, and then we had the coaches show for an hour. I was out on Cardinal Caravan, so it's my first Sports Open Line since winter warm-up did officially wrap up. So we welcome your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages. If you want to call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or if you're listening via the Odyssey app, you can just click the voicemail button and record yourself, and that comes right into the studio. I was taken aback a little bit by this text message. This text says, quote, they're from the 314. I think that if the Cardinals want to continue to keep fans engaged, instead of just telling them to hang in there and be patient, maybe start putting some money back into the fans with more theme nights or better giveaways or something. When they had Yachty tumblers, those games would sell out. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the person who texted in, but I also question, like, are you paying attention? Like, if I'm being very blunt about this. The Cardinals have a theme night, sometimes multiple theme nights, almost every single game. The giveaways that they do are awesome. Their promotions and marketing teams and everybody involved with both theme night and theme night giveaways and also the promo night giveaways are there. If you go compare what the Cardinals do from a giveaway standpoint to what a lot of other teams do, the Cardinals are really leading the way. Their giveaways are awesome. And I'm not saying that as somebody like who wants to, you know, kiss the backside of the Cardinals. I'm somebody who gets these giveaways and loves them personally. I have them in my, if you ever watch the Gas House Gang, you'll see in my background a lot of the giveaway items that the Cardinals do. So they're really good. And they always have Tumblr nights. They do. I don't know if games are selling out as much for giveaway items anymore. I think some giveaway items, some bobbleheads are absolutely going to result in more people going through the turnstiles. So other giveaways, you know, something that my daughter looks forward to every year is the Build-A-Bear game where there's a, you know, a teddy bear that you get when you walk in and things like that. But I read that text message and it befuddles me because I think so highly of what the Cardinals do from a theme night perspective and from a giveaway perspective. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Kyle Sixt is here. You've done a lot of work over there as well. So you get your hands on some of these things. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're fantastic. The Cardinals do amazing with their theme nights. No complaints from me. Like you said, almost every night it seems they're doing something. So I don't think that's quite the solution for the Cardinals here.
Yeah, I'm looking right now just at some of the giveaways that they're going to have this year and some of the different theme nights that they have this year. And it's really, really, really good stuff, and it's fun stuff. So I think in that area, the Cardinals are doing everything that they can do. Could they do more like all fan giveaways Monday through Thursday as opposed to weekends? I guess, but I don't think that's going to draw that many more people in. Again, there's theme night giveaways. If you get the theme ticket for almost all those nights. So I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate you taking the time to text. I would respectfully disagree with the premise of your text message. Now, taking that one step further, and something that I know the Cardinals are working on right now internally, and we'll see what it looks like when we get to opening day, the game day atmosphere, like the show, the presentation has to be better. Has to be better. If you walked into this iteration of Busch Stadium on opening day in 06 when the ballpark opened, and you walk in there at any point in 2024, well, like the presentation of the game wasn't all that different. There were differences because time has moved along. I feel like the presentation in some ways has gotten stale. That's one of the things Anouk Kurunturante, who took over for Dan Farrell in the front office, coming over from Toronto. One of the things that I'm most excited about his impact on the organization is what it's going to look like. You know, I get it. For a lot of Cardinal fans, you're listening to me talk right now, and it's all about the baseball. It's all about the baseball. It's about winning, and it's about losing, and the other stuff doesn't matter. But I think we would be naive to sit here and say that it doesn't actually matter. And I bring up Toronto for two reasons. A, that's where Anouk came from. And two, that was one of the places that I got to go this past season on a Cardinals trip. And the Cardinals and the Blue Jays had similar records. Neither team headed to the playoffs this past year. And for the Cardinals, when they're not doing things that are overly compelling on the field, the environment can feel stale. For the Blue Jays, when they are doing things that are not overly compelling on the field, the environment at the games is still, it's a party. It's still a rocking atmosphere. And it didn't take anything away from the baseball. That's what I think some people get worried about that. They're going to say, hey, this is St. Louis. This is St. Louis. This is baseball comes first. Yeah, it does. Baseball does come first. But that doesn't mean that you can't do things at the game that make it a whole lot of fun. And where you can walk out of a ball game after a night where your team lost and you could still enjoy the time that you were there. And not that you don't enjoy. I mean, I think anytime you get a chance to go to a ball game at Busch Stadium, it's something that's special. But there are parts of the presentation that have gotten stale over the years, and they need to freshen it up a little bit. Even the pregame stuff. You know, again, going back to Toronto, I remember sitting there before the games, and they basically had almost like, for lack of a better term, like a reality show on the TV, where not reality show is bad, like almost like a documentary. That'd be a better way. I forget who it was, but it was almost like a documentary following a player, a day in the life of somebody. And it was really well done. The production value was great. And people sitting there got to learn something about player. Like it was a show. The way they did things was really good. So I'm hopeful that the Cardinals can do some of that. You do have to thread that line where it can't all of a sudden become like a party where there happens to be a baseball game going on. It always has to be a baseball game where other stuff is going on, but that other stuff can certainly be more engaging to a fan base, where when the Cardinals aren't playing well, we saw what happened the past 2 years from an attendance standpoint. The environment was not as fun to be in, where there are some places where just the experience of going to the ball game brings a little bit more. So even in years where maybe the team isn't performing quite as well, you're still seeing something that's pretty entertaining. So again, it's a really tough line that the organization has to cross, because in St. Louis, of all places, in St. Louis, it could never get to a point where the other stuff is more important than baseball. Baseball always has to be the single most important thing. If you go to a Colorado Rockies game, you're paying a cover charge at a bar, and there happens to be a baseball game going on. That's not what it needs to be, but they can definitely freshen some things up inside of Busch Stadium. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We're going almost all baseball today. It is our post-mortem of winter warm-up Cardinals caravan. I got to say, I always enjoy sharing my Cardinal caravan stories. It's so much fun. It's one of my favorite things to be able to do, and I always am so appreciative of the Cardinals for inviting me to come along on these things, because it's pretty darn cool. I was gone on Sunday and Monday. I met a lot of folks in the great cities of Marion, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Paducah, Kentucky, and Cape Girardeau, Missouri. You know, the number one thing, not to take anything away from Sports Open Line, because I know a lot of people, not just in St. Louis, but throughout the region, and a lot of Cardinal fans listen to this show. But what really struck me was, we have made an impact already with our Gas House Gang show. I had more people come up to me over the last 2 days and tell me how much they are enjoying watching or listening or just taking in the Gas House Gang on an everyday basis. So we haven't been doing that long. We're not even, I don't even think we're 60 shows in. We're probably in the mid-50s at this point. And a lot of people have taken notes. So that is, that's pretty cool. Just, it's always good for me to go out on these things, because you remember who a lot of the fans are and how big of a deal. And I had a fun group. I went out with Thomas Sajacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, Sim Robersa, Al Roboski, and Kerry Robinson. And we had a really, really good time. It was fun. And just the way we're treated in all these various cities when we come in is just it's a really cool experience. I'll say this. So I always have at least one story from winter warm-up of something that happens. And Kyle, this year we got to we were leaving Evansville. We got indication that maybe something wasn't quite right with the bus, but then we got on the bus and we rolled. And then we do our we go to Paducah, Kentucky. We do our whole thing in Paducah. We're getting set to leave, and we are told, "Yeah, the bus isn't working."
Oh no!
So our bus had some sort of suspension issue or something with it. It was not going to get fixed. So we're stuck in Paducah for a while. The folks that the Cardinals send out, like the staff members who operate these things and coordinate everything, amazing people. And between folks in St. Louis and folks on the ground there in Paducah, we were able to obtain, it was three cars that from a rental car place that they could do one-way rentals on. So, you know, we've got a traveling party of like 12 to 15 people. They unloaded the bus into the three cars, got everything, you know, all of our luggage, everything that we had, and they got it into the cars, and they got all of us into the cars. And we were a little bit late to Cape Girardeau, but we still made our final stop in Cape Girardeau. And one of the things that I thought was really cool of all of it, like the two things. First off, how hard everybody with the Cardinals worked to get these cars and get this thing going. It was not a great situation. But also, the players and the alumni that I mentioned that were all there, not a single one of them complained. Not a single one of them, you know, grumbled about being stuck in Paducah for a few hours or being forced off the comfortable bus and into the cars and everything. Like, everybody was just all in on this. So it was it ended up being a good story out of a not so great situation.
That's cool, especially with the players. They didn't have to be cool about that. That's such an unfortunate situation, and to make the best out of it, that's awesome.
Yeah, both Kyle Leahy and Chris Roycroft started like throwing. They had a glove and a mitt inside the convention center.
That's awesome.
And they were doing some work on the side. I think they each needed to get their arms loose a little bit. They wanted to find some time, so they found the time right there. And each of them took time. And that's interesting, being next to big league pitchers who are, you know, throwing inside of a ballroom at a convention center. But that's what I experienced yesterday. It's kind of interesting to see.